Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, May 3rd, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Very well. How about you?
Yeah, all good, all good. Dangerously close to the weekend.
Dangerously close. That's always nice. Also with me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Yeah, so first we had Good Friday, and now today is Better Friday.
Oh, Better Friday. I like that. Someone's optimistic.
But it is it's a Better Friday here in the UK because Monday is a holiday.
Ooh.
Well, there
so
you
it's
go.
Three-day weekend here in the UK.
Very nice. So that's why you're dangerously close, because I see you have a whole extra day to go with it.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'll still be here on Monday on TMO.
I was going to say,
don't
since
worry.
You have a holiday, but we don't, you still have to work.
Yeah, that's true.
It's okay. We will be glad to remind you more about that on Monday, Charlotte.
News will happen. Never fear.
Like it or not. So the first thing I wanted to talk about today, aside from holidays in England, is Andrew, you have an idea about how Apple could make glasses but also have them be a health device?
Yeah, it's just a brilliant idea, if I do say so myself, that I had last night. So first, I was thinking the Apple glasses, because I think Apple will eventually make them, they could be... The first premise of my editorial would be Apple glasses could revive life logging. And for people who don't know that what that is, it's basically tracking different things about you in order to improve your life. Now, we can already do some of that with the Apple Watch, because health tracking is a big part of it. We can see how many hours we slept, how many steps we walked, and we can use that to maybe live healthier. And so the original idea I had was, for some life loggers, you track more than that. Like, for example, some people track how much water they drink, how much caffeine they get, like what kind of food they eat and the calories. I mean, it can go pretty deep. And so at first I thought, well, if I'm wearing Apple glasses, instead of having to do it manually, what if I could just like hold a glass of water up in front of my face and some AI on the glasses could automatically log, hey, you're drinking a glass of water right now. And so then I started going deeper into more of the health aspect. And so I'm trying to connect the dots. So right now, I mean, Apple has said they want to, they see the healthcare industry as their next big project. They can disrupt it like they did maybe with the music industry or something similar. And what we have right now with the Apple Watch is it's changing our relationship with our heart, with the AKG. It's making it easier for us and doctors to figure out how healthy our heart is. And so the health problem I think the Apple glasses could help with is glaucoma, because that is an eye issue. And one of the tests for that involves shining light into your eyes. And we know that, I think it was last year, we heard there was an Apple employee who had a health injury related to their eye. I'm pretty sure it involved shining lasers into their eye. And so we all automatically assumed, well, this sounds like they're testing the Apple glasses. And so I thought, if the glasses are shining light into your eyes, maybe there could be some kind of glaucoma detection built in.
That would be interesting, because I wonder how the glasses would detect it. That would be my first question. Because I know, like, when I see out, like, when I'm looking at whatever, and I can tell to my brain, like, that's in focus, that's out of focus, it's too far away, it's too small to read from here, wherever here may be, in relation to whatever I'm trying to look at. And I wonder how the glasses could help that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different tests. I'm going to mention five common ones in my piece. I don't remember what they are, but I think it basically involves using the light to try to, in one test, like measure the distance between something like the back of your eye, mm-hmm. or maybe try to measure how big the nerves are because mm-hmm. it affects your optical nerve. And then if the AI gets smart enough, it could maybe give you like a percentage or something like that.
Yeah, I think that would be the next thing would be, even if it can do the test, if you could wear glasses, like when I've gone to the eye doctor and got tested for glaucoma, they just shoot the little puff of air in your eye. But something has to measure like what happens when they do that. And that's the part that I wonder about being able to put in something quite that portable. So, Charlotte, what do you think?
And I mean, and obviously, as with that employee, they would have to be, you know, safe for your eye and not cause injury.
Right. Yeah. So, Charlotte, would you wear these?
Absolutely not, no.
What?
Well, do you think it's likely?
Let's start there. I'm short-sighted. I do wear glasses, but I do some life talking. I've had Fitbits. I use Strava to monitor my exercise and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I like the idea of it all being incorporated. And we should say that Apple actually has done a really good job in the health space with its heart monitoring. There are numerous stories of how the heart monitoring in Apple on an Apple Watch has really helped people and actually saved lives. So there's no doubt Apple has the capability to create some really good health focused products. So I'm not convinced about the glasses form factor at all. They were a bit of a disaster when Google tried them. Mm-hmm. You look mm-hmm. like ridiculous wearing them. No, but please.
The Snapchat ones were the same sort of,
like, you just look like I can't even say the word because we're a family show, but like, it's not a good look, right?
It's not a good look.
So you have that issue. I would say if anyone can make them not look completely awful, it probably is Apple. Mm-hmm. Although you know how I feel about AirPods, but Apple has the capability to really do good things in health. I'm not sure glasses is the form factor where that is going to come. I suspect they're going to focus predominantly on doing it all via the phone. I suspect that will be the focus as opposed to glasses.
Well, I think I'm with you on that. I don't know that it's going to necessarily be glasses, but I think there's going to be more stuff. Like maybe there's something with the AirPods, since they're in your ear, like maybe they can test your heart rate in your ear or something. And we've seen the ad, the iPhone ad, where you like put your finger over the camera or something, and it will, like, there was something where you could take your pulse through your fingertips with the camera. Something that app was doing in particular. I think there's gonna be a team up between what they can do with the watch and what they can do with the phone. And maybe that's where the magic's going to happen. I don't know that it's going to be glasses. I think maybe there might be slightly more to AirPods, or like, you know, we've heard more about additional health tracking and noise cancellation and stuff in the next iteration of AirPods, which was a rumor we started hearing about. So I wonder about those pieces for that reason, because I think Apple has all of the hardware they need. Maybe it's not in the right shape. Maybe it's not in the right form factor right now. But they've got everything they need, because people like to wear their watch. People like to carry their phones. People like to wear their AirPods. Sorry, Charlotte. So I feel like there's a certain amount that they could do with what they already have if they just start gearing things that way. And I think that's what we will primarily see with the next iteration of phone. We'll get a better camera, we'll get a nicer processor, but part of that nicer processor is going to be the health stuff it can track, or better integration with the watch, or they're going to make the watch less reliant on an iPhone. So if you're an Android user, you can get an Apple Watch and it'll still be great, you know, that kind of stuff. So I feel like that might be more where they're headed. The glasses are an interesting idea, but I personally paid a whole lot of money so that I could get the laser upgrade and not have to wear glasses anymore. So I'm not hot about putting them on by choice. So this is also my opposition to 3D movies. I paid way too much money to not have to wear glasses anymore. I'm not putting them back on. Thank you, drive-thru.
Yeah, there was an interview where Tim Cook said, I think it was an interview or maybe a patent, where they said they were working on something adjacent to the watch that could be another health thing. Some people thought that was like an Apple Watch band. I think there was a patent for that one. Mm-hmm. Some people thought there were also patents for, you know, like you said, AirPods with health features. Mm-hmm. And then other people like me said, ooh, what if it's the glasses? Mm-hmm. So,
well, I think Apple there's...
might be...
Obviously, they're thinking about it. I wonder if it's going to be something more like the Power Beats. If maybe that's the line that's going to get the health stuff, since those are the ones that are marketed by athletes. Some intentionally, some not intentionally. You just see everybody wearing Beats headphones all the time. Like when athletes get off the bus at the place for the thing, whatever that might be. You know, in my case, it's basketball. You see lots and lots of athletes, and when they do the commercials for Beats, generally those commercials are done by athletes. So if there were anybody who had a vested professional interest in making sure they were tracking that information, it would be the people who wear Beats, according to what we see in relation to ad campaigns. So I wonder if maybe that's where that stuff goes, because those are also a little bigger, and they're not... quite like the new ones, the Power Beats Pro, I think is what they're called.
Yeah.
That we talked about on the show. I think those are maybe a place where that could go because they're a little bit bigger than what the AirPods are. And if AirPods get bigger, I'm presuming there will be riots in the streets. So since we have a slightly bulkier version of true wireless headphones with these Power Beats, then maybe the Power Beats are where that stuff will happen. Maybe there's a little bit more room in those for some health tracking in some way, whatever that might be.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So in any case, we will have a link to your editorial in the show notes. And anybody who wants to chat with us about your brilliant idea, if you do say so yourself, can do so by emailing us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes or on Andrew's editorial itself. The other thing we wanted to talk about today was a little bit about tips. So, Charlotte, you have a number of tips in an article that you're publishing about Apple News, but on the Mac.
Yeah, I've done a story up on the site. Since I got, you know, I explained in the piece that since I got my Mac Mini, I don't know if I mentioned I got a nice shiny Mac Mini. That's shiny and pretty.
Shiny, pretty, maybe, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned it.
I think you might have mentioned it.
Yeah, so I've been using Apple News a lot. I've always used Feedly, which I really like as well, but I since, you know, I got a device that wasn't 10 years old and could power Mojave and Apple News, I've been using it a lot, and I'm really keen on it on the Mac. So there's a few things. So there's even silly things like there's at the bottom of Apple News, it says save stories, but when you click on a story, there's no immediately obvious way that you can save it. But all you have to actually do is press command save, like you're saving a document, and it magically appears in your save stories. Really nice, really simple, means you can keep stories that you want to read later on. I also discovered, which perhaps some people know, but some people don't, you can, if you have a subscription, say, to the Wall Street Journal or other publications, you can access your subscription via Apple News. You can also take out original subscriptions. So if you wanted to, I don't know, the Washington Post is the example I use in the piece. If you realize you quite fancy reading the Washington Post, you can administrate administrate that all through Apple News and your Apple ID, which is really nice. So it's all in one place. And then it all just goes straight into your Apple News app, which is really nice. And yeah, look, there's a few different things. It's all pretty simple to, as I'm sure most listeners will know, it's very simple to discover channels and topics. That's just at the bottom. You can find the channels you want. But the two that struck me were saving articles for later and using and taking out subscriptions. And of course, at the top of all articles and things, there are hearts and the broken hearts, so you can let Apple News know exactly what you like. So, and organize your reading, and if you click edit at the top, if you're a bit OCD about organizing all your publications like me, you can drag and drop different publications and topics by clicking edit on the side, and you can also delete. There's a wide, you know, red button on the side as well when you click edit, so you can delete things if you've got fed up of them. Now, so lots of easy, simple ways to make Apple News very personalized for you and to get the most out of using it if you're like me and spend a lot of time reading news on a computer.
Now, this is just using regular Apple News. This doesn't have anything to do with News Plus, right?
That's correct.
You have access to all this for free.
Yes, apart from subscribe services. Apple News Plus hasn't arrived in the UK yet.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll update it. Andrew did a bunch of tips that are on the site for when Apple News Plus originally came out in the US. Mm-hmm. So I recommend checking those out as well. So yeah, between those sets of things, you should be able to get the most out of Apple News.
Okay.
And I think the save one is probably important because the behavior just isn't consistent between the platforms. Because on iOS, you can tap the share button and you'll see a save button in the share sheet. And you can access saved stories in the Apple News Mac app. But there's no obvious way to save it on there.
No.
Because it's not available when you tap the share button.
That's exactly right. And you can't even add it as an extension or something. And so that it struck me as really weird, actually, because I was looking at saved and I tried clicking on the heart at the top of a story. Does that put it in? And it doesn't. It did strike me slightly odd, actually, how they had organized the saving there. And as Andrew says, you can do it, and I included in the piece, you can do it on an iPhone. You can do that just by tapping the share sheet, but that's not an option on the Mac, which is, a bit weird.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about general tips. So the first one that Charlotte had was saving articles. Because, again, not the same experience depending on what screen you're in front of. And, Andrew, you recently wrote up a tip for us on screenshots.
Yeah, so before Mojave, the main way you took screenshots was keyboard commands. Mm-hmm. But with Mojave, that changed because now we have an actual screenshot tool. Mm-hmm. And one command that I was using.
Oh no! I'm trying to find it. I'm excited by this.
Oh really? You don't know about the tool?
No, I've been using. I've just been doing the keyboard shortcut and using drafts.
Well, there's an incidental tip.
Bonus tip: if you're using Mojave, there's a new way to do screenshots.
Yeah, and there was this terminal command that I used, which when you took a screenshot, like of a particular window or whatever object on the screen, it would remove the screenshot shadow. But Mojave broke that, and I haven't been able to find a new command that would do it until a really cool reader of ours shared that command with me. And so I wrote up a tip about it. It's really easy to do. You just copy and paste it into Terminal and hit enter, and there you go.
That's fantastic. I think we've blown Charlotte's mind.
No, I'm just playing with it. And because I have my screenshots automatically synced to backup in Dropbox, which you can do. Yeah. And I was just testing, actually, if the screenshot tool that Apple provides, as well as the key commands, it automatically sends it to Dropbox, and turns out it does. So there we go.
Nice. So
yeah, there's a fancy new options, so it makes it a bit more easier than, you know, trying to remember keyboard shortcuts.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
So I will give a bonus screenshot tip for people who are not on Mojave, because I don't know if this works on Mojave. If the drop shadow one is broken, this might be broken as well. So if you're not on Mojave yet, and you do a lot of screenshotting, if you use the keyboard commands, so you're doing Apple Shift 3, Command Shift 3 to get the full desktop, or you're doing Command Shift 4 to get the crosshairs and, you know, select a portion of the screen or hit the space bar and pick a window or whatever. If you're using one of those screenshot keyboard combinations, if you add Control to that, so it's Apple Command or Apple Control Shift 3 or Apple Control Shift 4, instead of creating that file wherever it is you have those files go and whatever image format you're using for those, it will copy it to the clipboard instead of making you create that whole new file. So if you just need it for a second so that you can paste it somewhere else, if you add Control to that keyboard command, it will make it a paste to the clipboard, and then you can go paste it in Slack or that document you're writing or that web form or wherever it is that you have to have that screenshot go. If you use the Control key to go with that, that's very cool.
It works all the time in Mojave. I just tested it.
Oh, hurrah. Okay. That's the one that I use constantly, because I often don't need a file on my desktop. I need it for something else. I need it to go somewhere. I need it to be in an email, or I need it to be in Slack, or I need it to be in some other option. It's always someplace else that I want to go. So the tip that I have for people today is not a software tip. It's a hardware tip. And that is, if you have a laptop power brick and you're using the longer cable to plug into the wall, so you've got the extension cord plugged into it and you don't have just the wall wart plugged straight into the wall, an easy way to keep this from being a complete mess in your bag is if you take the power adapter and you pop up the little hooks on the side that you're supposed to put the smaller cable around, pop those up and then wind the big cord between those. And then once it's all wound up, then wind the smaller cable around the hooks like you're supposed to do. And then that will keep the longer cable from coming undone in your bag. And then the smaller cable, once it's wrapped up, helps keep that in place. So there you go. There's today's pro tip. I like when we have an opportunity to talk about them. They do go up on the site regularly. We have tips for all kinds of things over at MacObserver.com. But I do enjoy getting an opportunity to sometimes talk about them on the show. So I'm glad we got to do that. Andrew, thanks for coming by to talk to me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Charlotte, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy weekend.
And a happy weekend to you as well. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast for Friday, the 3rd of May, 2019. I'm going to wish you a happy Star Wars day for tomorrow, because I'm not going to get a chance to talk to you again until Monday. and you know how you have to know how I love Star Wars Day. And I will talk to all of you again on Monday. Be excellent to each other.